Timmies and Spikes, we must all arrive at the win condition.
With the Lazatep plating.
I don't know, we can leave the finance to the other people.
That's a Pringle joke, isn't it? Hello again and welcome back to the Win Condition Podcast, your source for lore, news, and brews in the MTG community. My name is Sean, I'm your host. I'm joined by my co-host Greg. How's it going, Greg?
Doing pretty good today.
Awesome. Absolutely incredible. And hey man, it has been a minute since we have graced the airwaves with our podcast. I would just like to start out by saying sorry, we kind of left you hanging.
Yeah, life kind of got in the way, and well, you know how it goes.
Absolutely. Changes in jobs, I got a divorce, and you know, you find out a lot about priorities when it's just you and two kids, and there's life ahead of you. So, you know, growing up is, what did Blink-182 say? I guess this is growing up.
Oh, man, no. What's my age again?
That too. There you go. There you go. We don't want to get DMCA'd on this podcast, so we're moving right along. Anyway, welcome back. We are definitely going to try to keep this show kind of as we have been doing it, kind of picking up where we left off. But in order to do that, we need to bridge a certain gap in the first part of our segment.
Yeah. So, yeah, this is definitely a bridge here.
Yes.
Is it prismatic? Why don't we make...
Well, only if you cast the backside, but what a good backside it is. Anyway, we're going to head on over to Lore Corner.
Yes, indeed we are. And, well, as we left off, we were out of Ixalan. We were still getting the web stories, and we moved to Dominaria, where we were getting web stories. We got to see Teferi join up the Oath of the Gatewatch, and Karn has kind of joined along, but he hasn't joined the Oath yet.
Right.
From there, we had the Weatherlight, the destruction of what was going on there, the last of the demons, how Nicol Bolas absconded with Liliana at the very end, saying, well, their contracts are null, but mine isn't.
What a twist.
It really was. So right after that, there was a bunch of other like little stories here and there. There is something with Davriel.
Well, that story was so good. Like, up until that point, I must say, the storyline for MTG was out of control amazing.
It really was. And I think they kind of lost us in Throne. But before we got to Throne, we went back to Ravnica, which is where Jace and Liliana were no longer knowing each other from Ixalan, but still kind of working together. And it's a culmination of war has come to Ravnica, and we need to deal with Nicol Bolas. We come to find the fruition of Nicol Bolas' story arc, which was the Immortals, which he was planning to use to de-spark all the Planeswalkers and trap them on Ravnica.
With the Lazatep plating.
Right. And then what was ended up happening there is that Gideon took the Blackblade and tried to kill Nicol Bolas riding atop Rakdos, only to be swatted down.
An amazing sight to be seen right there. Gideon atop Rakdos. Like, wow. That's Mardu at its finest.
Talk about riding a centaur and feeling bad about it.
Right. And just for the record, we did have a casualty. We lost Dak Faden, unfortunately.
Yes. And Domri lost too.
True.
Only to have essentially Nicol Bolas to fight against Liliana and ultimately try to kill her. Gideon sacrificing himself to save Liliana. Liliana turns Oketra's immortal self and Bantu's immortalized self to de-spark Nicol Bolas as he was going back to his meditation realm where his brother Ugin joined him. Yeah, that was a big one. That was like a huge surprise there, huge change. And Nicol Bolas is now sealed in his meditation realm to die.
That's
eventually.
Yeah. Yeah. And so that leads us through War of the Spark. And then we go to this fancy little plane called Eldraine. Aside from the gingerbread intro video we got, the plane had quite a bit of fun stuff to offer.
And some band stuff, for sure.
I was going to say, you don't like playing with powerful cards, you say? Fine. But, for a minute, here's some stuff that's totally busted.
Yeah.
Here's Talarian Academy. Here's Dark Steel with, oh my gosh, what was Affinity?
Oh, but, Jesus.
Anyway, sometimes you push the power level and stuff gets banned. Got it.
Yeah, that's for sure. That is really for sure. So, in Throne of Eldraine, the story going on there is that the Kenrith family, which we knew Will and Rowan from Battlebond, their father had been turned into an elk. And Grook had learned of this plane because of the wishes that can be cast there and what could save him from his curse from the Chain Veil all those years ago. Which, yeah. I can't even think of how long ago that was. It's what? 7, 8 years, maybe? Can't believe
Yeah.
So, yeah, he gets his curse removed. He becomes Grook Returned, which we get in the story spotlight card, Return of the Wild Speaker. And he gets this because he finds Kenrith, the Returned King, which... At that time, since he was able to return the king, save him, he got the curse removed, he vowed to be the protector of the children Kenrith. So that's Will and Rowan. So it's really funny to think about. They're a teamer colored combo.
Now that he has the curse lifted, yes.
Right? Indeed. So that was the end of there. There wasn't too much going on. It was just simple and easy. Moving on from that, we go to Theros, Beyond Death. Which is when we get
Elspeth.
Elspeth returns from the underworld and
conquering death as she does.
Right. And actually working with death on this to lock away Heliod because he was rude. I want to say a stronger word, but I cannot.
Right, we had a taste of it in the original Theros block, but
yes.
She came to seal the deal this time.
Yeah, and so that was her returning, and I don't think anybody knows she's returned. Was there any other planeswalkers that would know?
Who else was on to Ashiok and
doesn't care?
No, I know, but who would have the other planeswalker have been? God, that's terrible grammar.
That was really bad, man.
It was. So, yeah, we can't, unfortunately, recall the other planeswalkers, but you're right. You're right. There's not too many people that know that Elspeth is back. I mean,
it
seems
was,
kind
Calyx
of interesting.
Calyx was the other planeswalker there, which
Calyx,
he was a new one, too.
Thank you.
Yeah.
So it's very, very curious how you see the passing of one prominent white planeswalker to be replaced by another prominent, not replaced,
but
you know what
she
I'm
hasn't
saying.
Came back to the story yet. So it'll be really interesting to see
right.
if she does come back to be a part of the Gatewatch because she's always been against the persecution of people. So she may return.
Right. We have Basri Ket. We also have Ajani, as just other prominent white planeswalkers.
But Basri isn't anywhere close to Elspeth.
Yet.
After Theros, Beyond Death, we went back to Ikoria, for the first time. And this was a story of a world torn apart by monsters and humans.
I thought it was a story about Godzilla.
That was alternate art cards, man.
True. Those are amazing. Did you know
they really
that
were.
Did you know that just a regular non-foil Ghidorah is like $95?
Yeah, the Godzilla cards are really outrageously expensive. Kind of like that one card, the Void.
The Void Winner or
the Death Corona?
Oh, yeah. Well, that was a hot minute when that was expensive, but then it went back down.
Yeah, it really did. And it's just too many people on those hot words.
Right. Yeah, right.
But I don't think there's too
box.
Much story out of that, so... Then we go back to Teferi set, and that's just really checking in with time and seeing what's going on there. We return to Zendikar, a world changed.
Free of Eldrazi.
Right.
For the first time in forever.
And this sees Nyssa and Nahiri kind of teaming up and going and butting heads a couple times because of the Lithiform engine. And I can't remember what Nahiri was trying to do with it.
Probably get back at Soren.
Well, he's... Oh, that's right. He's out of the stone.
Mm-hmm.
He got out of the stone. Yeah, it's probably something to do with that. Yeah, she's pretty vengeful.
You think?
And it was really nice to see this. And this was post Nyssa and Chandra's kind of breakup, which that was forced by other studios.
Yeah. Well, that could be a whole entire episode just on that, which there definitely is a lot to say about that. But anyway,
so going on from then, we go to Kaldheim, which is where... There's tail of a giant pus oozing beast. So Kaya goes there, a part of the Gatewatch, to take it out. She's like, "Well, yeah, I could totally take it out. Whatever." Come to find out, this giant pus beast is actually the Phyrexian Vorinclex, and we actually don't know why he's there or how he's there.
Nope.
That's really, he's just there, and it's like, well, what's going on? How is this happening? And it was never brought up in the story as to how, it's just, we know it is. And Tybalt is there trying to find the Allsword so he can, what feels like, be able to planeswalk without planeswalking.
Right, so interject speculation here, because you had Elish Norn, but it was the original Elish Norn appearing with the Phyrexian writing on the card. And this is a new Vorinclex, which has the Phyrexian writing foil on the card. And of course, speculation abound that Gingitaxis was going to be at Strixhaven, but, you know, unfortunately we didn't see that happen.
That did not happen.
We do not know when Urabrask, nor do we know when Shaeldred might show up. Oh my god, can you imagine a new Shaeldred? That would be... just ridiculous. But anyway, so Kaldheim brings us all the way to present with Harry at Strixhaven.
No, so, no, don't say that word. You know better.
I didn't say anything. but just remember, they're not guilds. They are colleges.
The real abilities. Biggest thing, like story-wise, is that this is the assault on the compound. And there's a lot of changes here. There's definitely been movement towards redoing so much. And it's really nice to see magic kind of making a difference on where they've been going for so long and how they're turning it topsy-turvy. So what we know of the story so far is that Professor Onyx, a.k.a. Liliana, is an alumni of Witherbloom. And she has returned to teach there at the Strixhaven Colleges. And she is very much trying to deal with her past of how Gideon sacrificed his life for her. And it's really messing with her a lot. She gives some sound advice to the Kenrith twins about dealing with this new invasion coming across and trying to take out everything, which is kind of interesting, honestly. So with that going on, there's just a bunch, there's so much, and it's really interesting because it's a new bad guy. Like, it's not the Phyrexians, it's not the Eldrazi, it's not anything else, it's nothing we've seen before. So it's an all new bad guy, the Auric, trying to take over Strixhaven, the school of all magic, where all spells are known. Whether it's Mizzix's Mastery, to Wrath of God, Brainstorm, and even things like Tezzeret's Gambit.
Mm-hmm. I think that's very, very, very cool how they got those mystical archives going at the school of Strixhaven, because as I was opening, I bought 5 pre-release kits and I was opening them up and I found all these mystical archives. Everyone I looked at, I was like, well, there's a staple. Well, there's a staple. Well, there's a staple. And it just so flavorfully fits within the mm-hmm. realm of Strixhaven that, you know, you're opening up like a growth spiral. Like, who wouldn't play that? A Shock. Like, everybody knows Shock. Like, come on.
Or Lightning Bolt. Putrefying. Yeah, there's some really good cards there. So with that, we're going to start reading into the story more. So when we come back to you guys here soon, we will be talking more about the story and we will be more up to date. Sadly, there's been a lot of life going on in, well...
You can say that again.
Unprecedented times, as they say.
I'm just waiting for my kids to blow into the room right now and just start messing up the recording. But
you know, they're going to.
They definitely will, I can tell you what. One of the things that you noticed about the podcast in our later episodes was that with the removal of the story and in absence of the story, we would do a lot of the deep dives on mm-hmm, individual characters. Mm-hmm. And we still want to do that. But at the moment, everything is fresh. The storyline is still very interesting. Mm-hmm. And we want to get all that back in here, bring that to you guys, and have some fun doing it. So that was a very nice synopsis, Greg. I basically was just your hype man through that whole
thing.
Hey, I
like it. I like it. It's good.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it shows how knowledgeable you are of the Magic the Gathering lore. So
well, I mean, I've been...
Kudos.
I've spent way too much money this past year.
Oh, well, that's a whole other issue, which we will discuss in our brand new segment, MTG Finance. No, I'm kidding. Not quite.
I don't know. We can leave the finance to the other people.
Right? We get plenty of podcasts for that. We may drop the occasional nugget here and there. As we may exemplify a little bit later on in the mm-hmm. episode, but mm-hmm. there will be time for that. But in the meantime, why don't we head over to our news segment?
Yes, so news, man. What a year. I mean, we've been gone for 3 years, but this past year has seen so much change in Wizards of the Coast. Now that Hasbro is at the helm, of course, we're in, 4 years of Hasbro being in control of Wizards of the Coast now, and only now are they starting to get their own reins back again. So we're going to have another 2 years of booster pack fun, which, of course, has been amazing. And
yes.
There's been so much. I mean, we've got everybody having to stay home, collecting unemployment, not spending money, being able to invest in so many different things, the reserve list spiking hard, and just, I can't wait to be able to play back in stores.
So I'm going to go out on a limb here and say the timing couldn't be better, because with the stimulus checks coming out along with tax mm-hmm. refunds, there's been a lot of people investing in reserve list cards. So
it's
that would
sure.
definitely
yeah.
be driving the cost. So for example, here's this was my little win. So I was looking through my cards. I have an incredible handle in my collection all of a sudden, right? Like mm-hmm. I downsized everything to basically one ofs plus a couple extra staples because I play EDH most of the time. Some of you may refer to it as Commander. So when I was harnessing my collection on the TCG Player app on my phone. This is not an advertisement for TCG Player, but it's a great app. I was scanning all my cards in my collection, and I ran across Helm of Obedience. And at the time, it was like a $25 card or something like that. So I just was like, hey, this hasn't popped yet. And I looked on Amazon. I found a playset for like $75 of four of them. So I snapped them up, and then 2 weeks later, boom, $100 card. That I can't explain it. We can, you know, and it happens, but when these things happen, it's just random. It's like, let's go after this card, let's go after that card. You get buyouts, you get price spikes.
Yeah,
it's a roller coaster, man.
It really is a roller coaster.
It's GameStop all the time. You want to emulate GameStop stock? Play Magic the Gathering Finance. Go
oh
to town,
my
man.
Goodness.
This is in no way an investment podcast.
No, this is not.
No, but you can see, to your point, Greg, you can see the set boosters, the collector boosters,
yes.
the secret layer. This all happened within the last 3 years.
It did. I know. So much product. And it's really scary to see because it's just, who has the money to spend in all this?
Well, that's the thing is they're not forcing you to buy it.
It's true. It's your choice to buy it. It's everyone's
choice to buy it.
Buy what's
it's
the not most like comfortable
Wizards
with.
Wizards is making you poor. You know,
yes.
Like, whales will be whales. Like, why is everybody mad at that? Just because you can't have play sets of all extended art foil cards, you're mad? Okay. Sure.
Yeah.
But I
pretty
just,
much.
You know,
I think the most upsetting thing that I've heard is we're going to have heavy bolters in Magic soon.
Heavy bolters, please describe.
Well, if you didn't know, there's the Universes Beyond IP coming to Wizards, Magic specifically. Mm-hmm. And we're going to be getting a draftable Lord of the Rings set. Nice. And Warhammer 40K Commander decks. Yeah.
Yep.
So those are some definitely big changes, and we already saw it with the Walking Dead Secret Lair, and a lot of people are in a big old uproar, but in all honesty, I'm excited to see it. I just want to see Wizards continue with their own intellectual properties, but I feel like things like Ikoria, Kaldheim, and Strixhaven are all very much private intellectual properties. I mean, they are kind of offtakes of other things, but they're their own story and different. So
right. I absolutely love the route they took with Ikoria specifically, because you have the cards that have their normal name, and then in the uber premium versions, it's in the likeness of the IP that you partnered with. And I think that's great, because you've seen alters, right, all the time,
yeah.
And they look sweet. Why wouldn't you want professionally done digital art on something that you might be passionate about on a card, right, that has an alternate name that's its actual name in the storyline? Right?
Yes.
Like, I think they hit a home run with that, and they need to do that more often when they're doing these crossover IPs, not release individual cards only available by buying them directly from Wizards. Right? And it's
I agree completely.
You go with the physical cards, you got them from your LGS. That's where you started, you know? That's how this whole game started. And as soon as you start removing them out of the equation, you start making it just less and less about the gathering and more just about money and esports. So that's just my opinion.
Which is a part of the problem that they're having to deal with right now. And I think they're dealing with it a lot better than some other games have been. So
sure.
To their credit, I think they're doing pretty okay.
I think they're doing a great job. I mean, you can't compete with games like Hearthstone that can digitally edit their cards.
I think
on a moment's
Hearthstone's
notice.
Kind of dying out now, because Arena's on... Oh, what is that? Every mobile device that can hold it? iOS?
Cheers,
Android?
To mobile. Cheers to iOS. And hey, they knocked that one out of the park, man. I remember there was so much skepticism about you couldn't play it on iOS, blah, 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 whatever. Dude, they knocked that out of the friggin' park. I have had a couple of problems not being able to cast my foretold card. But other than that, the thing has been absolutely seamless. So
it's been really strong. It's been great. I'm very happy with what they've presented to us and given us to play wherever we want.
100%. 100% agree.
So seeing all these just this new stuff, what we're going for, what we're looking forward to, I'm actually really excited for the Forgotten Realms. I want a beholder creature.
What a beholder creature? What's a beholder creature?
Well, beholder is a classic D&D trope creature. It's the floating eyeball with the eye stalks and eyes, and it petrifies things. I'm really excited to have eye creatures back.
Okay. Well, isn't there an eye creature in Strixhaven? I think I was watching
there was
a
an
thing, and it was
eye bat.
That you learn. I think when it dies. Yeah. I've got like 3 draft tokens on Arena. I need to start getting into Strixhaven.
You might have to. You might have to. And by gosh, it's really nice to see how they changed the 2-color combinations in Strixhaven kind of on their head and went to the other side of where they normally are. So your black-green deck, which is usually focused around sacrifice and graveyard recursion, is now about life gain.
Yeah. And how about your red-white decks, which were focused on
attacking
aggressively, are now focused on instants and sorceries matter.
And like, also some good artifact retrieval, too. I mean, did you see the Soul Forge? That whenever one of your like artifacts die, you get a token of it, and then when the token dies, you get to return that card to your hand?
That's insane. I didn't.
That's super strong. That's a mythic in Strixhaven.
Yeah. Let me get back into this. Dude, there's so many new cards and new stuff to build coming out constantly. It's Spell Table came out since we last.
Oh my goodness, like, you were correct.
The stuff that's been happening has forced people to evolve and adapt and play in different ways, and that's amazing. Like, I mean, I'm fortunate enough to have a roommate who plays EDH, so I was actually able to play some paper. But other than that, once webcam EDH came out, you remember when we were doing that stuff?
Yeah, no, I remember doing it on Twitch.
Go check out YouTube, The Win Condition. We uploaded some videos of ourselves playing EDH against each other. The overlay, everything. Those were some heydays, man.
Way before everybody else was even thinking about it.
Exactly. My friend posted a picture of my PVC pipe setup on Reddit, and all of a sudden people were like chatting about it and stuff, like before this whole thing came up.
That's funny.
And of course, what I told him was like, zoom in on that playmat. Is that my last name? He goes, dude, I'll erase it. I'm like, no, it's fine. I'm just messing with you. It's okay. But webcam EDH has been amazing. The best thing since 2020. Yeah.
You mean 2019?
Since 2019. Yeah. Well, no, Oko was the best thing in 2019. But
After that. You sure it wasn't Once Upon a Time?
I looked at that card and I'm like, this is busted. No doubt.
It is really good.
Yeah.
All right.
Real quick interjection. Competitive Magic streaming. Your thoughts?
So there's been so much change that I think the scariest thing is that the creator program got cut.
The
Magic creator program.
That's true. I did hear about that.
Yeah, and I was like, I can't believe that they would cut that, because I think it was able to develop a lot of.
I can. What Hasbro looks at that and goes, "What? What is this? Why is it not making us money?"
I mean, the better way to look at it is it's advertising on the cheap.
That's really what it was. Why else would you cut it?
But I think really what it was is that because it was early access information, people were abusing that and leaking the information as well.
Well, I'll tell you one thing. People who do those early access events, streamers, you know, accounted from hearing several of them discuss this, who will remain anonymous, is they make a lot of money on these pre-release events through subs, through donations, through whatever. And to remove that from the lineup is essentially taking money out of their pocket, which is very, you know, it's disheartening.
So here's a big part.
They can do other stuff in its place.
A lot of the legal troubles that Wizard has been in with the whole judge program, and it could be the same exact thing where one of those people was like, hey, I'm not getting enough money. I need you guys to support me, because in some weird ways, if Wizards is giving access to those streamers and they're making money on that, is Wizards an employer for them?
It's true, but you also got to think that who are these streamers advertising to? They're advertising to the current gaming audience.
Right.
Right? And
yeah.
They want to spend their money attracting new viewers, new players. So
it could be just a legal thing, and it could be something that can return, I hope.
Sure. It could be a combination of all of it. It's mere speculation. We're not experts on the matter, but
true.
Based off of what I've heard and whatever, it's tough. But
yeah.
Unfortunately, it's like, what are you going to do? Just keep buying Magic cards.
Well, I mean, you get two choices. One, you support them, or you stop supporting them.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. It is totally your choice. Like we were saying earlier, with the flood of products, it's your choice to buy everything. Mm-hmm. So have at it.
It really is. It really is.
Yeah. So what are your thoughts, just because it's new, what are your thoughts on this early access Secret Layers subscription?
I mean, last time we talked, I think Secret Layer was on the cusp of releasing last time we had a podcast, and right. So, I have a fundamental issue with that, as I was at one point a card store owner, And with them going to this direct release, it cuts out card stores from being able to be a part of single sales. So it's like, it's deterring card stores from being opened. Because at so the end of the day, you want to be able to have people have a place to play, and they're cutting that out. And it's kind of like, why would you even want to do that?
Right. So to catch people up, in case this is the first time you've heard and we're your only source of information for Magic, which, by the way, that's awesome. Thank you for being so cool. Secret Lairs have been introduced since we last talked and are a collection of cards that are advertised beforehand, and then you can order them online. You have used to have a very, very brief window of time in which to order them.
Which has gotten a little bit opened up.
Yeah. And now it's you can buy them when they release, and you have a certain time window to do it. But it's still Wizards selling cards directly in a premium form, but they're already printed cards for the most part, to consumers. And there's mixed feelings about that. But anyway, there's been several Secret Lair drops since they started, and they're not planning on stopping. So you can buy a subscription, which gives you early access to purchase these Secret Lairs before everyone else gets to.
Does it?
And I don't know if there's.
Does it give cards?
It might.
I don't know.
My memory is like, quite hazy on it, but
it's still in its infantile state for this, you know, thing.
Right.
And we'll have to wait and see some more. But
yes.
I mean, I'm not a fan of paying money to have early access to something. That's not worth it to me. I can wait like the rest of the people. I know. You're right. And you know, the people that do is the opportunists, because have you seen, so for instance, do you know what the price is for a non-foil Kroxa from Theros?
No.
Have you looked it up recently?
No.
Okay, so I'm going to pull this up real quick because I'm in front of my computer and I can look it up. But do you want to give me a guess on
Kroxa? A guess as to what a non-foil Kroxa is?
Uh-huh.
I'm going to guess... Oh, $30?
You are very correct.
Wow!
And this is a card that's not really getting played in a bunch of events. It's got some playability, but like compared to Uro, which was format defining,
Have you played Arena? Have you played Historic? Have you seen Rakdos Historic with Kroxa?
I have not. Is it that good? Is it really that
good? Oh my god, it's my favorite deck in Historic to play.
Alright.
You Kroxa, you claim your Kroxa, and then you haste. No, you don't haste it because he'll die. But yeah, it's brutal. He's very, very, very hard to he's a good card.
So the big one that was released recently is we had the announcement for the Kaldheim artwork for those. And you would get, for $30 or $35, you get the Kroxa, you get a Grave Titan, and an Inferno Titan.
Art is sweet.
In the Kaldheim art. Sweet. So right now, the Kaldheim art for Kroxa is $37. Mm-hmm. Mark it. And listings are as low as $55. Non-foil.
Ooh. Okay.
So it's printing bigger money than what's even released already, and it's just stores really don't have an opportunity. Like, if for instance this subscription service was provided to stores at no cost, like premium stores have access to buy Secret Lairs directly in cases, and they're able to have them in store for market selling or anything like that, that would be much better. And I would have less problems 100%. With it. Right. And the fact that hasn't been conversed, there's nothing like that for stores. I really have a... It's uncomfortable for storefronts.
Right. So, well, on that note, when I went to go pick up my 5 pre-release kits to open, you purchase it from the right LGS, you know, a fortunate enough LGS, and they provide prize support. You know,
right.
Like, hey, thanks for purchasing a pre-release kit. Here's your extra pack. So not only do you get, you know, the 5 pre-release kits, but you get like, I got 6. I don't know why. Maybe it was an extra one. But yeah, there's definite benefits to go into your LGS to buy your stuff.
Right.
You know? Like, sure, you can order it online. It'll get there whenever. But, you know, tough times. You want to support your LGS because when they open back up, you want them to be able to, you know, support your habits.
Right? Yes. You were correct. You're correct.
Yes.
And exactly. It's why I've continued buying all sorts of packs from my local store and supporting them, because my friends are all people who are like, yeah, I don't want to spend that extra $20 on a box. And I'm like, why not? Don't you want the store to be there?
Yep.
Anyhow,
absolutely.
Enough about that. I think I'm excited and sad about it, because Wizards being able to literally print money into the hands of the people, it enables backpack gamers, and I don't know, stores need to be on it and buying it, and I don't know if they are or aren't. I know my store isn't. Is any of your stores in your area buying up the secret layers so they can have them as singles or sell them off as a set?
Not that I know of. I think one store just has some of the previous boxed product. I mean, none of them were like the Walking Dead or the Fetchlands or any of that stuff. Probably some of the lesser.
Well, the Fetchlands was a release to stores.
That's true.
But the Ultimate Series 2 fell really flat.
Yeah.
So I like it, but I'm like, eh.
That's a Pringle joke, isn't it? No, I'm
what?
Kidding.
No.
No, I heard that some of the secret layers, like the Fetchlands, were there foil ones? One of the foils. Like
there Pringles, was foil the premiums. Oh, my gosh. The curling in foils so bad is ludicrous. I am happy to see etched foils making a return after Commander.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Dude. This is how we're going to do it. We're condensing all these things that happened in the last 3 years into like one of our segments. This is fantastic.
I know. There's so much. There really is so much.
There is. I mean, they came out with the Magic Legends. We won't talk about that right now. But
did you see the this year's promotional cards for Wizard employees?
No.
Collect a goal.
What is it?
There's collect a goal. Oh man, I gotta find these for you, and pull them up.
Okay, all right. Well, that's gonna wrap it up for our news and current events segment. And while Greg looks that up, the next segment.
Yes. Champions of Archery. You could put a legendary creature card from your hand into the command zone. It now becomes your commander.
What?
I will find this for you and send it to you.
Holy cow. Okay. All right. That's interesting. That sounds good. So we wanted to take our third section. We haven't really been doing too much competitive brewing on Arena. We build EDH decks. That's kind of what we do. But one of the most interesting things that we wanted to bring to light... You can't say words in the English language without saying magic cards, I found. We wanted to go over the incredibly higher power level of the most recent Commander decks from Kaldheim and Return to Zendikar Rising.
Zendikar Rising. And how good these are for new players. Because my goodness, has Wizards upped their game on these for casual and just playability. It's actually gotten to the point where I've been using them very well with friends to teach them how to play Magic.
In a Commander deck.
Exactly.
Let it be noted. Commander deck.
Exactly. Yes. No, it's really good.
Yeah, there's been a lot of talk about if you want to introduce somebody to Commander, Commander might be a bit of a too complicated format or something like that. And the reality is, it's the most fun format. Especially
it really is. Like, it replaced kitchen table Magic, a decade ago, and it's been the forefront of casual play. And it's just done wonders for the Magic community.
Yes.
So,
totally agree.
Like I was talking about, we have the we'll go back to Zendikar Rising, which is the ones that I think are some of the best ones that they've released. So you have the Land's Wrath deck, which is a Naya colored landfall deck. which gives you three new cards. You have Oboon, Trove Warden, Geode Rager. And a few of the reprints in there that are super strong, you got Admonition Angel, Rampaging Balos, Sun Titan, Omnath, Locus of Rage, just a bunch of really strong cards. And really what it is that if you're looking for a Lands Matters deck that's simple and easy for somebody to start getting into, recognizing triggers and putting out a bunch of stuff, this deck was amazing. So many good cards. Lots of play, lots of good targeted removal, which is something that they didn't used to do. And just a lot of great recursion. I mean, heck, even Zendikar's Royal is an amazing little uncommon for an enchantment, and it does so much.
Yeah, and I mean, if you want to look at this Naya deck, you look at its instant, you know, suite here, and they've got some pretty good removal in here, you know, for a Naya deck with Sylvan Reclamation. You've got Struggle to Survive. You've got Naya Charm. The third mode on Naya Charm is deceptively good, where it just tap all creatures, target player controls. Then you get in there, and you just end them, because Oboon's ability after... Did you build an Oboon deck, by any chance?
I left it stock.
Okay. Yeah, he was so much fun to focus in on the lands that he creates and making them insanely powerful, not to mention doubling the number of counters on him and all that good stuff. But you can definitely see that if you can just get through with him and you put like a Sword of Feast and Famine on him, you just start to go nuts. And the whole landfall ability, he's a really, really fun commander to build.
He's a super powerhouse, right? So the other deck in there was Black Blue Rogues, which was an amazing deck build. Like, it is so good, and there's only a few cards that you really need to add into that deck to make it even better. And it was so good. So it's just like, I know I'm really behind the times here, and we're talking about stuff that released a couple years back. I'm sorry, we haven't been here, right? But it's important to be able to have that support for these cards, because it needs to be there. You need to have commander decks that have coherency for play. And these decks had in extra cards, a couple of them here and there that were just really strong. Now,
I love the cards like Notion Thief aren't really that expensive, but are super powerful. Great,
they are amazing. Amazing. There's few cards better.
Yeah, you get a Blackblade Reforged. You get Silumgar's Command. If you haven't cast a Silumgar's Command for value, like, you can either counter a non-creature spell, return target permanent to its owner's hand, target creature gets -3/-3, and destroy target planeswalker. These are powerful cards. And
they really are. The card that I wish it came with, though, would definitely be a Torment of Hailfire. Because that card needs to be reprinted.
It does. I noticed that card is really climbing up in cost all of a sudden.
It is very high up now.
Dude, how about that Stolen Identity? How much fun is Stolen Identity to
cast? So good.
Create
is so good.
The token and cipher. Oof.
Yeah. No, this is ability. They did a really great job. This was a well thought out set. And then moving forward into Kaldheim, sadly, I wasn't too impressed with the blue-white deck, but that black-green deck is something to behold.
Oh, my gosh.
The elf deck gives you everything you need to start playing Commander Elves, so much fun.
Yeah, let's just talk about the commander here, Lathril, Blade of Elves. Mm-hmm. So for two black and a green, you get a 2/3... Legendary Elf Noble with Menace. And when Lathril deals combat damage to a player, create that many 1/1 green Elf Warrior creature tokens. And she also has tap 10 untapped elves you control. Each opponent loses 10 life and you gain 10 life. All right, Greg, go.
Oh my goodness. You know, there's this really new card that's extremely busted. It's called Belladros Witherbloom. I don't know. I think you get to pay 10 life and untap all your lands. I gain 10 life off of this. It gives me an untapped lands, and then I get to do everything. So the biggest part about this card is that giving you tokens when she attacks and being able to tap those tokens to deal direct damage, because at some point your elves are going to get really weak and small compared to maybe that Rampaging Baylos Landfall or just numbers of different other things. And being able to use this and get those triggers off every upkeep, if you get a Seedborn Muse or an Awakening, just gives you so much play.
You know what so else good. You should throw in this deck? Patron of the Orochi.
Oh my goodness. I don't know. Is it Nature's Will too? Is that not a bad one? Man. Jeez, there's so many good cards.
Yep.
So much. And it's just really exciting to see that these pre-cons, they're easy for people to get into. They're strong. Like, I can play some of these against my built decks and still lose.
Right.
Which is
and
pretty
you
good.
Can pick them up out of the box and play them and experience some extremely powerful interactions.
Yes,
you know? Or
yes.
You could take them, tune them, and make them just an absolute ridiculous powerhouse.
Exactly, exactly. And then, of course, now we get Commander 2021, which have you looked at any of these Commander deck lists?
Sadly, I have not, but I'm willing to.
Oh my goodness. There is so many good cards in this. I mean, pretty much every deck got like 20 new cards that were never printed before.
20? Each deck gets 20?
There's 81 new cards between all five decks. So it might not be 20. It might be like 13-ish.
What's the focus? Is it color combinations? Is it...
So going over it, you start with Lorehold Legacies, which is your red-white. So Ozgear the Reconstructor, which is your commander for that, focuses on sacrificing artifacts and then taking the artifacts from your graveyard and making tokens of them. And not just one. So you exile one artifact from your graveyard to get two copies of it.
Oh, man.
Just imagine having an Anointed Procession with this guy. Oh, yeah, sure. I'll pay four, exile my Solemn Simulacrum, and get four Solemns.
Dude.
That's so good. That's so good.
Where can I go to find these deck lists? I'm looking right now.
I emailed them. I messaged it to you on Discord.
Oh, God. Oh, I got
it. It's
here.
Commander 2021 deck lists.
Okay. Oh, you're talking about Ozgear. Oh, okay. Here we go.
Yeah. And then you get Triplicate Titan, which is only in here, which is a beautiful card.
I've seen that one, yes.
Other big ones in that deck. Personally, one of my favorites is over here in the artifacts. It's Cursed Mirror. Two generic and a red artifact. When it enters the battlefield, you may have it become a copy of any creature on the battlefield until end of turn, except it has haste.
I love this card, too. And the fact that it was a 3-mana artifact that you could tap to add a red already got my attention.
And then
when it enters, yeah, that's just... That's
and then the other big card in artifacts, just normal artifacts. Have you read Archaeomancer's Map yet?
Archaeomancer's Map, 2 and a white for an artifact. It says, when it enters the battlefield, search your library for up to 2 basic playing cards. Reveal them and put them into your hand and shuffle your library. Whenever a land enters the battlefield under your opponent's control, if that player controls more lands than you, you may put a land card from your hand on the battlefield. That's some white ramp. That is finally
that is
some good
white
ramp.
That is white burgeoning plus cultivate.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's pretty much what it is.
Okay. Okay. All of a sudden.
Right? It's white's really, really strong. It does a lot of good things for white. It's about time we finally see some good cards. And then you've got the other new white staple, Monologue Tax.
Staple?
Staple.
You think that's a staple?
It's a staple. Think of it this way. If you have a Monologue Tax and all of your opponents play 2 spells, you enter the turn with 3 new mana. You literally got 3 Lotus Petals during the round.
I guess you're right. Okay.
How strong is an extra Lotus, right? I mean, Commander's Lotus, or what is it? Jeweled Lotus, that's what, $100 still?
This is true. But
and that's literally what you
do. Artifact that can be recurred, not a token that eliminates itself after it goes away.
Oh, yeah. But this card gives it to you for the rest of the game as long as it stays out.
No, I get it. No, that's really, really good.
It does a lot of what you already want to be doing. And then there's some other great cards like Hellkite Tyrant getting a reprint in here. Scrap Trawler. Like, this is
Hellkite Tyrant
focused
was like
towards
my favorite dragon back
Ozgear as a commander.
Oh, yeah. I would fetch up Hellkite Tyrant with my Zerillion of the Claw, like, first turn always, just trying to hammer as much damage in as
so
I could.
So good. Still have my Zerlin of the Claw Commander deck.
Beautiful. I need to rebuild mine. So then we move on to the Prismari deck. We've got Zafe, Thunder Conductor.
Collector?
It says Conductor on the top, but it says Collector at the bottom. What's going on, Greg?
There's been some grammatical issues going on right now for these sets. I don't know if it's not enough people in the office or not enough people checking it, but there's definitely some grammatical errors and some mana cost errors on some cards. Like Jodzi.
Home has made some people lazy.
I'm not saying it. I've been working from a business point ever since June of last year.
Yeah. You know what? It happens. People are allowed to make mistakes unless they work for Wizards of the Coast.
Right. And then they can't. And
just look at Twitter. There you go.
So I got lucky, and I had a storefront that was allowing for Commander decks to be purchased and met up with your friends. I have some friends that I play with outside of stores, and this deck is explosive. The where's the spell? Is it Creative Technique down there in sorceries? 4 generic and a red sorcery with Demonstrate. Demonstrate is a new ability that each deck has one of these, so it allows you to play the spell and you get it as a you get it. If you choose to Demonstrate, you give a copy of this spell to an opponent and you get to copy the spell. So by casting this once, you can give somebody else a copy, and you get 2.
Dude.
And this card allows you to shuffle your deck up and randomly cast a spell. So a card that's really like this is called Mind's Desire with Storm.
Mm-hmm.
And that's in the deck.
Jeez.
On top of that, Zafai triggers off of every time you copy a spell. So if you have Zafai out when you cast your creative technique, you're casting the spell and making 2 copies, which would give you 3 4/4s and 3 Scry 1 triggers.
Yeah.
And just imagine if you get to storm off of that and continue going.
I'm looking here at Octavia, Living Thesis.
Oh,
this
yes.
This is crazy. For 8 blue, you get an 8/8 with Ward 8.
So I've got to, one of my buddies was playing this deck, and I was playing the Quandrix deck, and I had an Essex out. So I made a copy, so I made a token during my turn, and I'm like, yeah, it's an Octavia. But because the one I'm making comes in with extra 1/1 counters, my Octavia is bigger than your Octavia.
But yeah, so I mean, whenever you cast or copy an instant or sorcery spell, target creature has base power and toughness 8/8 until end of turn.
Yeah, it's so good.
That's also a way that you could turn your opponent's, what's that thing called? Not Extinction. Lord of Extinction? Yeah, it's an 8/8.
Oh, man, those big ones,
it's not
yes.
you control.
You're
you can
right.
make anyone else's thing into an 8/8, which is interesting. I like that.
Yeah, it's really strong. There's a lot of great stuff in here.
Dude, I also like, real quick, Inferno Project for 6 and a red, 0/0 elemental with trample, and it has X +1/+1 counters, where X is the total mana value of instants and sorcery cards in your graveyard. Mm-hmm. So if you've got big instants and sorceries, this thing can get humongous.
Now, did you see or read Surge to Victory?
I'm looking for it.
So it's down in sorceries. So Surge to Victory is, I think, my pet card for this set. I am very happy for it because 6 mana is a lot to spend, but you get to exile an instant or sorcery from your graveyard. You know, like Reforged the Soul.
Mm-hmm.
And what it says is target creature gets +X/+0, Rex is the exiled spells CMC.
Oh.
So you could even remove something like Commit to Memory and give everything +10. And it also says that whenever a creature you control deals combat damage to a player, you get to cast the spell exiled by this for free.
This is that cipher mechanic
for each
coming back
creature.
On the card. Yeah.
So if you did that with, say, like a Time Warp or a Temporal Trespass, if it was like ditched into your graveyard, you can take a bunch of extra turns.
Sure.
Yeah, it's super strong. It does a lot of good things, and I'm very excited to put this in my Bruticlad deck.
I think that you are absolutely correct. So you know what? I think that we should actually put a stop here and we can discuss the other commander decks in a next episode, because we're kind of approaching that time right now.
You know, that's not a bad idea, and that will leave some more to come.
Exactly. And we also, I forgot this part in the very beginning. We also wanted to let you know that our show is sponsored by Flipside Gaming. Go to flipsidegaming.com, where you can order any Magic product, sealed or singles, and use the promo code WINCONDITION, and you will save yourself 10% off your purchase and support the podcast. I got a lovely notice that we got a little bit of kickback from Flipside Gaming on PayPal, and it really, really kind of got me going and wanting to come back at this and bring the podcast back to everybody. And now that we actually have to pay for hosting, you know, we're going to actually put the money back into the podcast. We want to do streaming. We want to do, you know, deck techs. We want to do videos. We want to do all that kind of fun stuff. So, and you guys and girls and everyone out there want to make this possible. So thank you very much for your support. We really, really, really do appreciate it. Sorry it took us so long to get back there. And we will try to bring it back, bring you some consistent content, because we love doing this so much. And there's so much fun stuff to talk about in the world of Magic the Gathering.
There really is. So, Sean, where can they find you?
Oh, so you can find me at MTG_Sean on Twitter. I think that's pretty much the only thing. I'm on Instagram. I don't even know. Beta Sean on Instagram. I haven't even said that before. Forget that. We'll cut that out. Greg, where can they find you?
I'm also on Twitter, and I'm there under NoobSlasher2003.
Wonderful. And you can check out our YouTube page, where we will be posting this. We're going to try to get the hosting going again. But again, thank you so much, everybody, for listening. And we will talk to you next time.
Have a good night, guys.
Okay, so I think I might remember how to roll into this.
You're probably a lot better at it than I am.
You know, I should have done the one thing and listened to a damn episode before we start to record, just to see. Here's the thing, though. My Mac got wiped, so I don't have any of the like sound effect files saved anymore.
Oh, no.
I'm gonna have to go and find the audio of the podcast and try to splice it out of there and see what we can do.
Hopefully,
yeah. All right, let's try it. Let's see if we can just roll into this.
Hold on.
By the way,
what did we call it again?
The win condition. Now get this, okay? Get this. Remember how we had a sponsor?
Uh huh. Is it still there?
I got $12 deposited into my PayPal account. It was like 4 months ago. They hit me up on Twitter and were like, "Hey, were you working with some dude named this from Flipside Gaming?" I'm like, "Yeah." And he goes, "Oh, well, there's money that we need to send you that we never did." And I'm like, "Oh, okay." I didn't even know what to expect. And it was like, "Yeah, here's $12. I'm like, "Wow. Okay. Interesting."
Hey.
So, yeah, I mean, people used it. We might be onto something.
Well, so, SoundCloud no longer hosts the audio.
Yeah, we'll and Shout Engine, where I used to upload this stuff, doesn't do it for free anymore. So we'll need to put that money towards hosting fees. And if
That's
we can
great.
Keep making enough to stay hosted, then we'll keep it on the air.
Come on. We put it on YouTube, too.
We did. That's totally free. Totally free. And now that I'm streaming a lot more, I would love it if we got an audience that would want to tune in and watch streams of anything, you know? Standard, historic, brawl, whatever. So, are you familiar with Covert Go Blue?
No.
Okay. He reminds me of you.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. He takes pleasure in being like an evil control mage.
I'm not an evil control mage.
Okay, Nekusar. Make us all think that. Okay. So real quick to brief lore, we're going to take you through where we left off up till now.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah.
Right? Okay. News, we're going to talk about, you can choose a couple topics and we'll take it to 10 minutes of each segment, or not 10 minutes, 20 minutes, whatever, until we run out of stuff to talk about.
Okay.
Or, because there's plenty to talk about, right? And then for the third segment, you wanted to talk about the commander decks from the recent sets.
Correct.
Perfect.
So, it was Welcome to the Win Condition, your source for...
That's right. Hello again, and welcome to the Back to the Win Condition podcast, your source for lore, news, and brews in the MTG community. My name is Sean. I'm your host. I'm joined by my co-host... Okay, I got it. All right.
You got a lot better than I do.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. It's not like I haven't had practice 3 years ago.
Right.
Okay, here we go.